This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's Monday, time for our Zoomer Squad. And let's talk about the vaccine rollout, especially here in Ontario. The good news, it's happening, but in a really scattershot, helter-skelter fashion that I believe is still disadvantaging the people most at risk, and that is older people. The authorities are worried because while only half of the city's over 80 population has received a shot, the bookings from that age group are tapering off. So why is that? Is it because it's hard to book? Is it because people think it's hard to book? Is it because they can't get to the places? Is it a combination of all those things? And what can be done to fix that? And if you're between 75 and 80, you can now book for a shot at one of those mass vaccination centers as of today, but your appointment will likely be a few weeks out. And as of today, anyone over 60 can get an AstraZeneca shot at a pharmacy. The trick here, you have to find a pharmacy that still has some supplies. It's most likely to be one of the drugstores that participated in that pilot project that had 330 drugstores in three cities. And that pilot project was limited to people between 60 and 64. It is expanded. Anyone over 60 as of today. That project, by the way, will be expanded to 1,500 pharmacies over the next couple of months. So the bottom line, it's pretty dizzying. It takes a lot of legwork. Different people are doing different things. I know that, for instance, Humber River Hospital was vaccinating people over 80 without appointments. They got a lot of people done that way, and the brief was, go there, you might end up standing in line for nothing, but I know a number of people who got their shots that way without a hassle. What about you? What's your experience been? I've heard from a lot of people who have their shots. Are you having challenges? 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And right now, let's go to Bill Van Gorder, who is the Interim Chief Policy Officer at CARP. David Kravit, who is the Vice President of Zoomer Media and the Chief Membership Officer at CARP, and Peter Mugridge, Senior Editor of Zoomer Magazine. Hi, guys.
Hi, Libby. Hello, everyone. Libby.
Okay, so David, your take on the vaccine rollout.
I think you hit it when you said lots of different things are happening at the same time, and it's very scattershot. But I must say two things about the online. I tested it again this morning, didn't go beyond the runway. Wouldn't have been able to tie it up to make a booking. But the runway was very easy. There's a screen that says if you're 60 plus, click here to reserve an appointment.
60
in a pharmacy.
Plus? Oh, in a pharmacy. Okay.
Yeah, at a pharmacy. No. And it said AstraZeneca, this is what you're going to get. On the left side of the screen, it said if you're 75 plus, click here and you'll get Pfizer and Moderna. And I did speak to someone who was eligible and booked it without any trouble at all, had to enter their health card information, an email address so that they could be sent an email to confirm it, and got an appointment for this week.
Wow,
and
this
got
week.
A reply in their email, an auto return with a QR code, like an ID and a confirmation number, easy as pie.
That's interesting because when this was announced, General Hillier said you can book on Monday, but don't expect an appointment soon. And, you know, I'm thinking this is good news and bad news. But if we only have half of the over 80s vaccinated, if people younger are getting appointments in those mass centers, it means they aren't reaching that other half.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You're right.
In this case, it was easy for this individual. You know, it was not a problem. Yeah. But I don't say it's widespread at all. And it may have been a function of the location. I don't know.
Bill?
Yeah, I agree with David that if you're tech savvy, then it's easy. But if you're not tech savvy, it can be confusing. I'm sure that, and I know from the current members we're hearing from that. People over 80, the older adults who aren't familiar with online, find it confusing themselves, have to find somebody else to help them. When you look at the pages, the phone numbers are hard to find. They don't bounce right out at you where you can phone if you don't want to do it online. And older Ontarians are confused by what's happening, and they're not getting the information as to exactly how to go about making their appointment.
Does anybody know how that phone line is going? Can you get through on it? Does anyone know?
I tried it this morning without letting them answer, and I did get through to a ring, which was better than I did last week when I just got a busy signal. So I assume since it was ringing that I would have gotten through it. I didn't want to tie it up, so I hung up at that point.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah, well, I think it's rolling out well, but if you have a family member to help you and sort of, or if you have like a support network that can you can talk it through and figure it all out, or you're listening to, you're listening to Zoomer Radio with constant updates and telling people what to do. That's great. But there are a number of people who are completely disconnected from everyday, you know, that kind of support network that's dialed into the community. And they're the ones who are falling through the cracks. And, I'm thinking of ethnic communities living in high rises in Toronto where, they may not even be online, they may not be following the news. They may not even understand it. And these sort of communities are falling through the cracks. And what I think they're talking about now, and I don't know how close they are to rolling it out, is to actually get, mobile vaccination clinics to go into these neighborhoods, these high risk neighborhoods with a lot of older people. And bring the vaccine to them rather than having the people figure out how to get to these, book an appointment and get to these vaccination centers.
Well, so here's what I know about that. I was talking to Dr. Samir Sinha, who is our leading geriatrician, last week, and he said they were planning that, but that it would take a bit of doing because it's not simple. My own doctor who's been on the show, Dr. Kingstone, said that his clinic has contracted with Sunnybrook to deliver shots to his patients who are not mobile. I have to follow up on that. I'm not understanding exactly how that works. And we know that the city had a number of pilot projects where they went into seniors' buildings and vaccinated everybody in them, and that was quite a while ago. So again, it seems like it's the same deal, scattershot. And I know that people are thinking about those who maybe don't speak English that well, but exactly what's there for them is a little hard to put our finger on. Lines are heating up, so we're going to take a couple of calls. We've got Marianne in Georgia. Hello, Marianne.
Oh, good morning. I am actually in Georgina.
Yeah, didn't I say that?
And I just wanted to give some positive input. I wanted to let you know that the booking for Georgina in Keswick came up last week. I went on the internet and I was able to book an appointment for next week.
Great. And
so
you're,
I thought that was very positive.
You're going to a mass vaccination center?
I am. I'm going to the Ice Palace, which is the arena in Keswick. And actually, three of my friends also got bookings for the next day, which is the 25th. So I just wanted to say that there are some positive things happening up north.
Well, yeah, there are definitely actually positive things happening all around. The problem is that, as I said, it's helter-skelter and people are falling through the cracks. And this was one case where if you live in Toronto, usually for most things, you got first dibs because it's a big city with a lot of amenities. But in this case, no, because there are a lot more people here and a lot more older people. So people who live up north where there are smaller populations, like yourself, were getting appointments sooner.
Yes. And I also wanted to tell you that a friend of mine, she lives in Toronto, and a mobile clinic came to her apartment building last week, and they all got vaccinated. So I thought that was wonderful.
Does she live in one of those seniors' buildings that had the pilot project?
I don't know if it's a pilot project, but she does live in a seniors' building.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Marianne.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, it's just all over the map, and it just... I don't know. There's something like you kind of, it's people talking to each other. Did you hear about this or did you hear about that? And did you try this or that? It just seems, you know what I mean? it's
yeah,
like that. Go ahead, Bill.
I know exactly what you mean. And it's a product of our COVID times. Prior to COVID, when older adults got together. They got together regularly at a place of worship, at a social club, at a bridge club. And that's where the people who were online, who were up to date, would tell the others what was going on. COVID has completely cut off that kind of communication. So once again, we're dealing with so many seniors living in isolation. They don't have anyone to help them. They're not talking to other people about what's going on, and they're not finding out. So the problem we're trying to solve is being made even more difficult because of the problem we're trying to solve.
Good point there. Linda in Pickering. Hello, Linda.
Yes, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Oh, yes, it is afternoon. what I was calling about is why does the government, like Canada Revenue, if you owe them money, they're right quick. They can find you. Why is not the government having this program? They know who's over 80. They know who's over 65. Why can they not send them a notice with an appointment in their area and a phone number where they can call if they need transportation?
It's a provincial, I think part of the problems with all of this is that there are so many cooks. You're talking about a federal agency that knows where all of us are, the CRA, but health is provincial. And then there are some initiatives that are run by the city. It's even unclear. Actually, those pilot projects are from the province, but with the city. Then there are the local health units who are doing their own thing. There are 34 different local public health units. The health teams run the health units, so some of the hospitals have been up and running for weeks now and doing it, but that's part of the problem.
But this is not a province problem. It's a federal. It's all of Canada.
Yeah, but health is a provincial thing, and the provinces get very exercised when the federal government's telling them what to do. Politics.
Yeah, it's all about politics. Okay, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye. But there's a great point there that she makes, Libby, if I could just cut in for a second, is that they've all treated this as something extra within the existing structure and system rather than an emergency that requires coordination. I remember a couple weeks ago on this show, on successive days, you had a discussion about vaccinating people in homeless shelters, and you had two diametrically opposite statements from one from Alderman Cressy from the Toronto Public Health, and the next day I think it was the Provincial Solicitor General. The province made us do it. No, we didn't make you do it. It's just mind-boggling that they can't get everybody into one room at the beginning to say this is a once-in-a-century emergency. We can't just funnel this through all our existing bajillion silos. We have to get the thing coordinated.
Yeah, well, and you know,
they don't.
You know, David, and when it comes to that, this is another thing that is kind of driving me a little nuts. And that is because of all of this stuff, they can all point fingers at each other, right? Yep. So my question to Councillor Cressy is, why are you prioritizing homeless people over older people who are shown to be at the highest risk with the most severe disease and death? So rather than saying that, you know, for him, I think that helping the homeless is a big priority for him. It's his thing. So rather than saying it's my thing and there is infection in these homeless shelters and that's what I'm doing, he's blaming the province until we finally dragged it out of him that, yeah, there was some discretion involved. So, when they make decisions based on their own understanding of things, you try getting them to take responsibility.
Not easy.
Okay.
As we're seeing.
Okay. Lauren in Toronto is confused. I don't blame you, Lauren. Hi.
Hi. I am confused. They announced, you know how they're doing 60 to 64, 75 to 80, 80 up. Well, they announced twice over the weekend that they're doing 60 plus.
Okay, Lauren, let me explain that, all right? So what happened was there was a pilot project in pharmacies. AstraZeneca. And that's when the federal body said don't use it on people over 65. So people to 60 to 64 for a couple of weeks ago got their shots. NACI changed his mind, said, yes, it's fine for people over 65. So now in a pharmacy only, anybody over 60 can get the vaccine if you find the vaccine. And so
they're telling you which ones are doing it.
Well, okay. So the situation is that the 330 pharmacies that were in, of the 330 pharmacies that were in that pilot project, some still have supply, but you have to find out. It's going to be wrapped up to more pharmacies, but in the meantime, they don't have supply. So you either have to go through the grapevine where somebody tells you, like, this is what happened in my neighborhood, by the way. On the weekend, I'm taking a walk. One of my neighbors, very excited, comes over and tells me that he got his shot. And I said, oh, I thought people over 65 couldn't get it until Monday. And he said, yeah, but Loblaws, they're doing it now. And the Loblaw, he said, Marvin told me, another neighbor. Yeah. And the Loblaw at, it was at Jarvis and Lower Spadina, was doing it. And he said, oh, a bunch of people on our street went there and got their shots. Our street is not particularly near Jarvis and Lower Spadina. But this is kind of how it worked.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You made me feel better.
Okay, well, you know, people, if you're over 60, you can get an AstraZeneca shot if you find an AstraZeneca shot.
But, Libby, you know what's further confusing the issue is that some people are getting called in by their doctors and getting it in doctor's offices as well. And they're sort of bypassing the pharmacies and the central registry. So there are many sort of loose ends in this whole thing. And like Lauren, a lot of people are confused. Someone at the province and or the city has to sort of resolve that confusion and just come out and say, this is what it is right now.
Well, you know what? It's good. The doctors have been clamoring. We just got another press release from family doctors saying we want to help with this.
Yeah.
But again, the issue with doctors is supply. I've heard from doctors who are sort of going, yippee, I'm going to get some, but they don't really know when they're going to get some.
And does the doctor's vaccines, does that feed into the data when they say that half the 80-year-olds still haven't been vaccinated? Are they just saying vaccinated in the Ontario mass clinics, or are they capturing every vaccination? Because they're sure not capturing every infection, or they probably aren't even capturing what their inventory of drugs is.
I would imagine they are, because so first of all, whoever is giving a vaccination is getting paid for it. There's got to be a billing number for it.
That's true. Yeah.
So they're definitely, they might not be completely up to date, but they will definitely know, because the supply is released and people are getting paid for administering those. And I actually think, and some people have started to do this, I think that the pharmacies and the doctors have the best shot of reaching people, especially older people, housebound, who are not getting reached. Because they know, you know, my doctor knows which of his patients are stuck at home. As a matter of fact, I have seen him, even though he's over 80 himself, visit neighbors in their late 90s quite recently with a house call. So the doctors know and the pharmacists know which of these patients are in that situation.
Yes,
and I think that probably a lot sooner they should have been enlisted to find those people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because so the people who are able to use the online system can use it. And those who aren't able would be covered by doctors if they had the vaccine, right? I think that would be a much better system, you know.
Okay.
Well, we've had them on the show a lot, the OPA, the Ontario Pharmacists.
We're having them on after you guys.
Yeah, we have thousands of storefronts. Why aren't you utilizing? We know who everybody is. We've got all their prescriptions on file. You know, we're the logical problem solver here.
Right, but it's going to take a bit. I want to take a couple of calls. Some people have good news. We've got Norm in North York. Hi, Norm.
Good afternoon, Libby. I hope you're feeling well. You sound great.
Thank you.
I just got my vaccine shot less than an hour ago, the first of two. I just turned 60 last fall. Our local counselor sends out a newsletter weekly, and there was a link to the area pharmacies in the area that are giving it. And I called a local one that I've never had any dealings with before. But a week and a half ago, they called me back a few days later, and they booked me for today. And I was just there, and I'm feeling fine.
Great. I'm glad to hear it, Norm. Congratulations.
Yeah, so keep it simple. Trust your counselor now.
Okay. Well, you know what? That was good work on the part of that counselor. Which counselor was that?
Francis Nunziata.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Francis Nunziata. That was a good thing to do. I wonder if other counselors were doing the same. Thanks for your call, Norm.
That was very simple and easy.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Dennis in Brampton. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. And I guess there are a couple of pieces of good news. I actually just got my Pfizer vaccine at my local hospital here in the region of Peel. And I will say the portal for the region of Peel, if you can log onto that portal within minutes, you've got a booking, and they don't ask you for health card information, any of that. They just tell you this is what you need to bring when you come. So it was very easy. In fact, I was amazed. And that portal actually opened early. I was able to get on there on Saturday morning and make my booking.
And may I ask how old you are?
I'm 75.
75. So that was, now the hospitals in Peel, like Trillium, they have been doing a bang-up job, a great job. And again, and I mean, Toronto had its...
Civic.
Yeah, Toronto had its own portal, and I know people who made an appointment on the Toronto portal before the province's portal was up and running. But it's all over the place, and people in Peel were able to get a vaccine through the hospital before people in Toronto. But now the mayor of Peel is complaining that so far there are no pharmacies in Peel. So it's what can I say? Dennis,
my wife got, believe it or not, on Saturday afternoon, the doctor's office called her, our doctor, and said, are you able to come in this afternoon? We can vaccinate you with the AstraZeneca. And she, just on the AstraZeneca point, you probably saw the news this morning of the clinical trial in the U.S.
Yes.
A large clinical trial, which now says effectiveness of the AZ vaccine is 72% against asymptomatic and 100% against severe illness. So I'm hoping a lot of people will reconsider. I know there's been some hesitancy around that. And boy, there's the good news just keeps on coming.
Okay, Dennis, thanks for the update.
You're welcome. Thank you. Be well.
Okay. By the way, people, we're still going to be talking about this in the back half with different guests, so hang on. I'm not going to get to all of these calls before I wrap the guys. Okay, we'll take one more from Joan in Innisfil. Hi, Joan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just was talking to your fellow there, and I just was saying, we don't have internet. So I got on the phone this morning right at 8 o'clock. I had my cell phone, flip phone, and the other phone, and I was dialed 40 times, kept getting busy signals, kept going. And finally, the 41st time I got a person or a recording, but I was on hold for an hour and 5 minutes.
Yep.
With the recording coming on every 5 minutes, like, you know, there's a problem with our system, you know, hold, we'll be with you soon. Anyway, finally, after an hour and 5 minutes, I did get a person, and she took my information and my health card information. And then she said, I need an email address. I said, I don't have email, dear. That's why I'm phoning. And she said, oh, all right. So then she took my phone number, but I do have my two appointments for my COVID shots, which I'm delighted about. But I think it's going to be very difficult for people without internet access to get through. Because, like, I stayed on the line for an hour and 5 minutes because I knew that if I let the line go, I wouldn't get back in the queue, right? But, you know, if people don't have internet, it's going to be very difficult for them.
Yep. And the phone is difficult, and sometimes older people don't hear that well. So,
I'm 75, and I mean, but it's just, you know, that's just the way it is. My husband's 91. He's got his first shot already.
Good for him. I'm glad to hear that.
But you know what they said about his second shot?
4 months.
When I said to him, he got his first shot the March 1st, but I said, well, what about his second shot? Well, we'll call you.
Yep. Well, hopefully those dates will move up. Joan, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Libby. Enjoy your program.
Thanks.
Bye.
Very much. Okay. All right. We're out of time. So bottom line, 15 seconds each, starting with Bill.
People over 80 are still having difficulty. If you know somebody who's over 80 and you have access to phone or internet to help them, reach out and help, or we're going to have a lot of those 80 pluses drop between the cracks.
Peter?
What a great show, Libby. Like, all those callers, like, they all came from different angles. They all got their shots, one through doctor, one through pharmacy, one through the book. So, we got a really good sense of how people are getting their shots, answered a lot of questions, and just a fantastic contribution from your callers today.
Okay, yeah. I agree. David?
Yeah, I agree. It's a great show, but I think that it's choppy, it's messy, but on the good news side, it looks like it is happening in various ways in various places. So the message here is be persistent and find the channel, because the channels are all operating, it seems.
Yeah, the channel is very unlikely to come to you. Thank you so much to our Zoomer squad, Bill Van Gorder, Peter Mugridge, and David Kravitz. We'll talk
Thank
to you
Libby.
Next week.
Okay, thank
Thanks,
you.
Libby.
Okay, bye-bye. We're going to take a break, and we are going to be talking about vaccines more When we return, we're going to be talking to the head of the Ontario Pharmacists Association and pharmacist on the ground, Dean Miller, about what is available in pharmacies, what's coming to pharmacies, and what's the best way to get access to that when we return. And of course, we'll take your calls. Before we go to break, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Oh, no. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. As we've been discussing, pharmacies and doctor's offices are also vaccinating patients. Some of the drugstores that were in the pilot project still have supply. There were 330 pharmacies in that pilot. By the end of the month, 700 will be in the program, and there it will scale up to 1,500 by the end of April. So let's get a sense of what's happening on the ground. And if you have questions, the numbers 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. I would like to welcome pharmacist Dean Miller, who is the president and CEO of Whole Health Pharmacy, and Justin Bates, who is CEO of the Ontario Pharmacists Association. Thanks so much for being with us. Hello.
Good afternoon, Libby. Great to be on your program today.
Thanks. Hi, Justin.
Great to be here.
Oh, okay. You were both sounding a little the same. Justin, I talked to you on the phone on Friday, and at that point you said that about 50% of the pharmacies in the pilot still had supply. What's that number like today?
Well, it's certainly depleting with the weekend and many having several appointments on Saturday, Sunday. So we're probably looking at anywhere from 65 to 70% left, depending on the store and location. But we're getting close to the end and looking forward to having some replenishment back into the stores.
Okay, just to clarify, 60 to 75% of the 50%.
Yeah, well, no, that's left on total. So that would be, we have about 30% remaining out there in the pharmacies.
30% of the original supply, and it's obviously not not evenly distributed. People basically, if they want to get some of that, they just have to find it, right?
That's right. So the stores started the pilot program each with a box of 500 doses that expire. Most of them expire April 2nd, and based on the volumes and demand that's been experienced out there, some are already out, and then some still have some. And I think the best thing to do is go to the website and check, because many of these participating pharmacies are utilizing a booking system and or call the stores.
Dean, what's the situation in your stores?
Well, like Justin said, you know, certainly this weekend was very busy, and my understanding is, on a quick check this morning, that with the announcements of pretty much anybody over 60 is now eligible, that the phones have been lighting up. So I can assure the audience that, you know, I think independent pharmacy, you know, which is, you know, a lot of the stores that are represented by my group, you know, we still have supply. It's depleting quickly. But as Justin said, check the ministry website, because a quick glance of a lot of stores in and around the GTA, there's still a lot of stores that still have supply.
Interesting. You know, Justin, you were telling me on Friday that the rule was the pharmacies weren't supposed to start vaccinating people 65 and over until today. I know that a number of them were doing it all weekend. I said in the last segment that, you know, for instance, one of my neighbors rushed up to me to say that he got a tip from another neighbor, and a Loblaws pharmacy at Lower Spadina and Jarvis was vaccinating people over 65, and a bunch of people from our street went down there and all of that. So what's all that about?
Indicative of just the excitement and also the anxiety out there to try to find, you know, the COVID vaccine. I think, you know, we're seeing that demand is certainly outpacing supply. supply. Until we have that part of the equation solved, I think you're going to see more and more of this. The direction from government was very clear in that we shouldn't start injecting anyone over the age of 64 until today. I know many pharmacists were using their professional judgment, and they're in a challenging position when you don't want to turn people away. You also don't want to waste any dosages. So I think that may have led to some of the situations that you have described, but the clear guidance was wait till today.
And do you have any idea what the rationale behind that was?
Well, I think it was in part from a government perspective to give pharmacies time because they knew they would be inundated in order to prepare for booking. So pharmacies were permitted to start booking for this week back in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think the actual administration of the vaccine was intended to be today.
Now, in terms of the booking, Dean, so I've heard it described to me because I know that even hospitals were taking some over 80s without appointments, you know. So it was explained to me that actually the best way not to waste anything and not to waste time if people cancel appointments or don't show up is to kind of have a mix of appointments and walk-ins. Do you agree with that?
There's definitely a strategy to this because, you know, our pharmacies use a combination of phone appointments and also online booking appointments. And, you know, quite often there's in any given day where we've got, 40 or, 45 appointments, there's probably a good 10 to 20% of it is, persons that have, they've booked multiple locations and they just didn't show up. So, quite often, not only do our pharmacists usually towards the end of their day, some spots that are just there for people that either have been waiting or they've requested, they can't get through. So it's a bit of a combination of all of the above, Libby. If you've got a favorite pharmacy, I would definitely talk to the pharmacy staff and just see, when is the best time to kind of either line up or pop in, and you may indeed get one, or you would just have to wait minimal time before, they could accommodate you.
Okay. I'm going to take a call from John Pickering. Hi, John.
Hi there, Libby. I don't know where all this product is your guests are talking about. I was on the phone this morning, my wife and myself, two phones. Two laptops. I phoned every single pharmacy in Scarborough. Not one. They were all busy. They had voicemail boxes that were full, voicemail boxes that were not set up, referring you to websites that did not exist. There's no reference to any wait lists or anything. So if there's product out there, the information available to guys like me says there isn't. It's very frustrating.
I'm sure it is. Maybe there's not product in Scarborough.
Every single store, that's about one third of what's on the list. And finally on TV, I saw something, somebody was interviewing and said, if you go to Rexall.ca, they have a wait list. So I'm on that wait list and it says you could get a call in months. So if people are telling you there's product out there, maybe they should tell the pharmacies because they're not making it available to people to call.
Well, like I said, maybe in Scarborough it's done. Dean or Justin, do you have a response?
Yeah, I can jump in and start. I know it's frustrating and it's not easy to find. I would start with the government website. We've asked for stores that no longer have inventory to be grayed out, and I think that'll be updated in the next couple of days, and that should help identify which stores still have inventory. In addition to that, it is all over the place in a sense because each organization is using their own systems to book. I would also ask for some understanding that, these pharmacists are just being inundated with calls and they're doing everything they can to accommodate and to provide exceptional service to get as many people in as possible. And there are supply challenges. We know that, we're waiting for news on the AstraZeneca 1.5 million doses that are being released from the U.S. and what's that going to mean for replenishing the existing stores as well as expanding beyond the three regions.
Dean, so you gave a tip that's try at the end of the day, because there are probably a few no-shows that left a few vaccines in slots. Anything else? Would you think that Scarborough would have used up more doses than other areas?
You know, I can't speak specifically for Scarborough, but, you know, and I don't even know if this is appropriate, but if you got me that fella's name, you know, off the air, I'd be happy to sort of set him up with something that that will work for him. But I'm looking at a list that the ministry has supplied, and you know, we've got about, I would say, a good 60 of pharmacies or so that still have a very, very ample supply of doses remaining. So it's just a matter of getting through. I know the phones have been absolutely jammed today, but there's vaccine out there for sure.
Okay. We're going to take a break soon, but I have a question for Justin before we take a break. And that is, you know, after NACI approved AstraZeneca for people over 65, I and a lot of others thought that the way it would be rolled out would be similar to what's happening in the government, in the mass centers, that it would go down by age. Are you aware of what went into the decision to just say, okay, anybody over 60 gets it?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors. I mean, we would have probably started with a different age category in pharmacies had it not been for the original guidelines from AstraZeneca and NACI to be not suitable for over 65. So when that changed, we had already shifted out some of that prioritization of the population. So I think the most sense made to create as much equity as possible across all of the age groups from 60 and above to include that, because we already started at 60. So I think it was more of an extension and trying to create that access and convenience and get as many people vaccinated as possible with no wastage.
Okay. I think Libby, the other thing is this, you know, tests have been done. There's a lot of people out there saying, well, it wasn't tested in elderly people. Indeed, it was. It's just a matter of, you know, getting the results. I mean, with each passing week here, we're getting more and more data about safety. So, you know, I think it's a bit of a moving target, but, you know, we're certainly in a position now to make those recommendations and follow NACI guidelines.
Well,
and the efficacy of the vaccine has actually increased with real-world evidence. It's now at 79% for AstraZeneca in preventing mild symptoms, and it's at a near 100% in preventing death and serious symptoms.
Right, because the results, that's the results of the U.S. trial. They did their own trial, those results look good to me. Guys, please hang on. We have to take another break, and we'll be right back with more on this very important topic on the other side of the break.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. We are talking about vaccinations and the rollouts and how it's going. And I want to reiterate, because this morning the results of the American trial came out, and it showed 79% efficacy against getting the disease, but 100% efficacy in stopping severe disease, hospitalization, and death. And I think that is the key metric. And interesting, you know, yesterday I was watching some of those foreign news shows and listening to some commentators from all over, and they were talking about how Emmanuel Macron and some others in Europe kind of poisoned the well against AstraZeneca. I know that friends of ours in Britain feel that there was a political element to it. Millions of people have had this shot. So that's all I will say about that. And before we get back to our guests, I'll take a call from Lorraine in North York. Hello, Lorraine.
Hi, Libby. It's so good to hear you on a telephone.
Okay, thank you. You too. Go ahead.
I have a question about the list of pharmacies. I never can find the exact list. Is it Ontario.ca, blah, 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 blah? Or is it Toronto.ca, blah, blah, blah? Or is it Pharmacy.ca, blah, blah, blah? I need the exact one, you know, with, the, you know, all of it. Because I can only find some kind of a CTV list.
Justin?
Yeah, no, it's a great question and important to go to the source of information. And it is in the Ontario government website, so it's ontario.ca. I can certainly provide that link.
Yeah, but I've been there. But what's after that?
What's the slash?
There's a slash and a bunch of other things beyond it.
Yeah,
and I never get the right one.
Right. I'll look for that, and I will make sure that we provide it.
You know what? Since you are on the internet, we have our Fight Back page on the Zoomer Radio website, and Ziv will post that.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay?
That's great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye. Yeah, it can be difficult to sort everything out. Justin, in terms of the timelines for pharmacies getting more supply, do you have any clarity on that?
We're anxiously awaiting the news from the federal government of when they take receipt of the 1.5 million extra doses of AstraZeneca that have been released from the U.S., and then how much of that will be apportioned to Ontario is still unclear, and the exact timing. But we do expect in the next few days to have line of sight into that. And there's really a two-prong approach here. One is to ensure that we replenish the stores that have started in this process for the last 2 weeks so that they can start scheduling second dose appointments, as well as the expansion plans, which we hope will have coverage across the entire province. And I think those two things are extremely important.
Just a couple questions there. What aren't we supposed to get another shipment from India as well?
Quite possibly. I don't have the exact details on that, but we're also looking at Moderna and potentially introducing that into the mix for the pharmacy channel so that we will have ample supply.
Okay. And Dean, do you have any more information than that about your stores getting more supply?
Well, being that I take most of my good information from Justin, I will say I don't really have too much more to add, Libby. Like, Justin's right. I mean, we're just awaiting word. I mean, we have it on pretty good authority that there's lots coming. I think this is going to be an incredibly interesting week because I think, midweek to the latter part of the week, we'll have certainly a lot more information because our stores as well are clamoring of what's next, where do we go from here? So I think it's going to be a pretty interesting week. We may not have any today, Monday, but later on in the week, I think we'll have a lot more information.
And are those timelines that I had, are they correct? It'll be 700 pharmacies by the end of this month and then 1,500 by the end of next month?
That's right. We're actually undertaking a very robust methodology to select stores in various regions across the province, and that list will be finalized by the Ministry of Health in the next few days, and then we'll start that whole onboarding process to get to a full 700 in multiple regions. And then, as you said, we'll add another 800 after that between the end of March and end of April.
Mm-hmm. What about my thought that pharmacies could play a role in kind of locating people who have fallen through the cracks just because, Dean, I'm sure you know who your patients over 80 who can't get around are.
Well, absolutely, Libby. And we have an extensive database, just like when you're going to a hospital or a doctor's office, we can print off lists of who's over 80 and who's over 70 and, all by date range. So we have a pretty good idea of how to track down all these patients. And a lot of the pharmacies in the pilot have already done that. They've been pretty proactive with their patients. So, a reminder that right now it's Toronto, it's Windsor, Essex, and it's Kingston. So, and selected stores within those regions. So, but as it expands, I think that's probably a lot of the listeners are going to hear that. They're going to have their pharmacies proactively contact them.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea because to me, it really is quite worrisome that the bookings in those mass sites are tapering off for people over 80.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's confusing, you know, for all of us, you know, and I can see with, you know, seniors and super seniors that are 85 and above, it would be even more confusing because, you know, there's, you know, this public health region is doing one thing and the other one's doing something else. And you know, it's a very, very confusing topic. So, you know, again, we've talked about on the show many times about, you know, reaching out to your pharmacist for information. And I think that's a really good piece of advice is have people go to their pharmacy, phone their pharmacy and just say, hey, you know, when do you expect it? And, you know, how are you going to roll it out?
And Dean, do you have a sense of how many people you or your group has already vaccinated?
Well, I've got nine stores, nine pharmacies that are in the pilot, you know, four in and around the Toronto region and five in the other regions. You know, it's probably a couple thousand, I would think, at this point, maybe even a little bit more in those specific pharmacies.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a couple that are approaching the 500 dose mark now.
Mm-hmm. And Justin, overall for your members?
Yeah, we're getting very close to the 164,000 mark. As I said earlier, we're about 70% of the way through. So I think that should be, you know, celebrated as a significant milestone in such a short period of time. And we got to build on that through the expansion so that we can accelerate those vaccination rates.
Mm-hmm. And just everyone out there, we will get the exact, I mean, I'm looking at a you know, a link which just says, COVID-19.ontario.ca, which I know you need more information with the slash and everything, and we'll get that up on our website on the Fight Back page just as soon as we can. So we are just about out of time. Justin, what do you want to leave people with this on this?
Yeah, I think the real message here is get the vaccine that is available to you. Have confidence that they're safe and effective. And I think the pharmacies are certainly doing everything they can to make this as seamless as possible from a patient experience perspective, trying to accommodate everybody's needs in the community. And we're just going to build on this success. And hopefully we get to a point in the near future where we have all pharmacies, all family doctors and public health units operating at full capacity so that we can get people vaccinated quickly.
Dean?
You know, I think, you know, like we talked about when the pilots first started, the very first day was a bit of a, you know, a craziness, but, you know, and again, I think we're experiencing that today. So for the gentleman that had phoned and said, you know, I haven't been able to get through or I haven't been able to find anything, you know, don't give up. You know, tomorrow or the day after, things will probably settle down a little bit. So, but definitely, you know, reach out to those pharmacies and ask that pharmacist, you know, how's it going to roll out in your pharmacy? Because, you know, not everybody's involved with the program, but as Justin said, it's going to expand greatly over the next few weeks.
Okay. Thank you so much, Justin Bates and Dean Miller. We really appreciate your time. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Libby.
All right, and that is all the time we have for today.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.